This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06 in the evening with Lynn, Aiman and Kelvin. We've also been talking, of course, about, like I said, Indonesia, right? And how there's a new panel of sorts, presidential experts. There are seven young people from different walks of life who are going to be weighing in, telling President Jokowi what's good, what isn't, in theory. And we've been asking you what you think. We have this from Kamaronism.
I think the new tech and social-based enterprise would be understood better by the young people. So Jokowi is right. With good advice from the young, at least he won't be calling Big Drone as Kereta Terbang.
Oh, lots of burns coming from listeners today.
I appreciate the dig. And Kamaronism, I think you are also right with that. You know, the problem sometimes with, the issue sometimes with government is that they respond a bit too slow to the innovations happening around tech. They don't know what to do with the industry sometimes. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with the gig economy, especially, just don't know what to do. So perhaps with young people, very closely speaking to the ears of the president, he will perhaps be able to react better.
Yeah. And on that note about keeping up, right, I think the problem with the internet, not the problem, it's a good thing, but it makes it hard for administrators and regulators to keep up. It grows so quickly because it's like a hive mind. And also so much of the rules governing the internet are so organic. You know, you only know that something is happening because you're spending time on it. You're seeing it around and then you look it up. And so for people who maybe don't spend as much time on the internet as the young, you're not going to get there. So I think having people who have that exposure and who know what to look for, 100%. I think that definitely works. Philip says, having these young ones in the government may be a good idea, but after watching the results of our own young minister, I hope the Indonesian president has chosen wisely. Burns. I'm telling you, burns are raining from the sky.
Well, one minister doesn't represent the performance of every young people, right? So we are yet to see the effect of having the new young members in the presidential expert panel. Obviously, everyone hopes that it will be good for Indonesia. But judging by the background and the age, it does provide some kind of hope that they will provide at least an alternative or, as Jokowi hopes, fresh and innovative ideas in terms of governing.
On that note about fresh and innovative, Victor says, the first thought that comes to mind, you know, Indonesia, why Indonesia? In contrast, we have the world's oldest PM and a council of elders. Is it any wonder we are digressing?
That's exactly right. There is definitely value in having a council of elders. These are people that have seen Malaysia through a lot and has a lot of experience to share. But at the same time, perhaps it's also the time right now to give young people the platform. Surely the government has done it through pushing a constitutional bill to allow 18-year-olds to start voting. But I think more can be done.
I think the key is balance, right? Balancing the fresh and innovative ideas from young people with the experience of the older generation who knows the sort of complexities and intricacies in like politics and governance.
Rose says, if there's one thing I've learned from this show, and I've learned many things, it's that every man and his dog or cat has an opinion. And while I respect and think this is a good thing, if we must decide on what's right, let's go with positivity over cynicism, doers over talkers. Of course, there's always two sides to every argument, but they aren't always equal. And I think that was coming, I assume, Ro, you know, in reference to the fact that I'm worried I'm being cynical about President Jokowi's intentions and the expectations that are going to result from this panel. Because like I said, huge youth electorate in Indonesia. Yep. So this is a very sweet PR move. I'm hoping that while there's no doubt that matters, that that's not the primary thing, and that regardless of what the intentions are, that something good will come of it, right? Like some tangible action, some tangible policies, something, you know, we're going to see an example of a young person having said something directly to the most powerful person in their country and having something result from that. So we're going to be speaking to somebody who will be able to tell us, is this level of cynicism unwarranted? And that is Amir Farid, who's the Director of Strategy at KRA Group. That will be coming your way after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:15 in the evening. You're with Lynn, Aiman and Kelvin, and we've been talking today about the decision, or rather the announcement that's come from Indonesian President Joko Widodo about seven young people, right, who are going to be presidential experts, offering advice, offering thoughts and perspectives. And we just wanted to know, is this the future of youth engagement? Is this something that we should be looking at as well? We're joined now by Ame Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group. Ame, always good to have you with us. So what are your first impressions of this move by President Jokowi?
It is indeed greatly encouraging, in my point of view, to see that President Jokowi has made a bold move to appoint Indonesia's top young talents from diverse fields and backgrounds. Having personally worked a lot in Indonesia over the past 10 years, I can attest to the fact that they are not short of talented, well-qualified, capable and determined young Indonesians who have made impactful changes in Indonesia's socio-economic landscape. My first impression of this group of seven, the Magnificent Seven, age between 23 to 36, is how inclusive the lineup was. Every segment of the society is included, even an elite, yeah, and represented fully across all segments. And their appointments are also merit-based, given their work and educational experiences. And of course, majority of them studied at top universities in the world, mostly Harvard. Apart from that, it is interesting to see that President Jokowi tries to accommodate and relate to the millennials in his own way. It was indeed a bold move, but one which is also born out of necessity to reach out to the younger demographics, more vocal social media and online generation. Having said that, in all fairness to Jokowi, he has been consistent on recognizing young talent. He's appointed a young cabinet member who's in charge of education, Pak Nadiem Makarim. He is, over the past 5 years as president, and even before that, more open and receptive to new ideas, especially those coming from outside the bureaucratic system. Because it is similar to his own personal experience, having come from Solo and outside of the traditional Jakarta elite bubble.
So whenever we discuss political participation among young people in Malaysia, right, Indonesia usually comes up as an example of getting it right. Can you tell us more about that and what is it like actually on the ground?
Well, first of all, we must put things in context here. There's always been a high degree of willingness among Indonesian youth in history to participate in public discourse and social activities in the mainstream of Indonesian political and social life. Youth engagements in Indonesia are more organic and it is not heavily driven by the government. So it is very bottom-up, grassroots, very vocal, local, and can be mobilized easily, as we can see from time to time in history, with most recently being just before the inauguration of President Jokowi for his second term in October. Campuses, universities like Universitas Indonesia in Depok, Universitas Gajah Mada in Jogja, are thriving grounds of debate and also a good place to spot talents, to recruit young leaders. For example, this year, there were massive rallies a few months ago across Indonesian campuses when the House of Representatives of DPR or DPR sought to pass a bill that would have severely weakened the anti-graft body in Indonesia. But we also have to remember that youth in Indonesia has a very special place in the collective romantic memory of Indonesians. Yeah? The youth helped liberate Indonesia from colonization, won Indonesia her independence, remember things like Sumpah Pemuda. It brought down a dictator in 1998 with a Reformasi movement of the Mahasiswa, ushering in a period of democracy. And also, more recently, they helped elect someone like Jokowi, whom I've termed as an outsider, into the mainstream of Indonesian politics in his first term as president. And of course, youth voices in history has got a good track record in Indonesia, and it has been taken seriously, and I think it will continue to do so as they are seen as vanguards of ideals and the national conscience.
And the youth also make up a large part of the electorate in Indonesia. How has that impacted politics in the country?
Well, in the 2019 elections, almost half of the electorates were below 40. That was why engagement with millennials are also very important. The large chunk of young voters helped keep Indonesian politics contemporary, leaders have got to find creative ways to relate and engage with these groups of voters. They are big numbers, so you can't ignore them. And as we all know, it isn't easy for older politicians to bring themselves to that level, but they all try. Look at the last presidential election campaign. Even Jokowi's now Vice President Ma'ruf Amin made some videos to relate more to the young vote base. Because the young voters, as we all know, everywhere in the world, young voters are noisy. And one wrong move, you will be a viral meme in the next hour.
Right. And what are some of the issues that impact and concern the youth, particularly in Indonesia?
Well, of course, top of everyone's concern, as we can see on online sentiments expressed on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, even on Pinterest, some points, that education is one key issue that everyone has strong opinions on and would like to see things improve. Employment, of course, employment opportunities, not just in cities, in urban areas, not just in the Java islands, but outside across the country. From time to time, cost of living is also a big consideration. But one thing that has also been consistently picking up for youth is the issue of sustainability. And of course, Indonesia has got not a very good track record when it comes to environment issues. Look at the haze, the open burning, management of peatland for palm oil. So I think youth will speak out louder on sustainability because it does impact the future of which they will all live in.
So with issues like sustainability and employment, you know, these are things that we face as well. So how has Indonesia responded to these issues firstly? And also, are there any lessons that we can take from that?
Well, the first thing is, I think, in terms of lesson, is not shutting different opinions and voices. Try to find ways to accommodate them. And as I said earlier, Indonesian youth movements are very grassroots driven. It is vocal. It is noisy. But Indonesian leaders tend to find ways to accommodate and engage with them in a way that work for the different generations in history. But key thing here is that it cannot be shut off and put aside and ignored.
And from a more cynical point of view, I guess, could this be said to be a move to woo young voters?
Well, of course, as I pointed out earlier, almost 50% of the voters in Indonesia are below the age of 40. And if the politicians are smart enough and they want to stay in power, surely they will have to have these engagement strategies with millennials, win their heart and mind, make a good impression on them, because they are already a big chunk of the voters, and this vote bank will continue to grow in the future. And, of course, there is that feeling of anti-establishment, rebelliousness, but the willingness also to give leaders, governments, a chance to prove themselves. But governments must remember that they are only as good as their last gig to young voters. And young voters, because of the nature of being noisy and vocal, and now with the use of social media, they can mobilize much easier than before. And we've seen this in other parts of the world, such as Hong Kong.
What are President Jokowi's approval ratings like among the youth in Indonesia?
In a few surveys that we've seen over the past couple of months, of course, his approval ratings have dropped from the first term when he was in power, and it hovers around 40%+ among youth. But this is below 35 in most surveys that we've seen so far, and this is lower than the national average. But a few of my pollster friends pointed out that it is the group that sees such dramatic changes. One pollster polls every month and he sees an increase or decrease in points, approval rating points of President Jokowi among this cohort in the double digits from month to month. So you see that is how young voters are. They're fast to react, but at the same time, it changes also easily.
So what is President Jokowi's track record like when it comes to actually carrying through reforms and policies that are future-focused and youth-focused?
Well, of course, he has got a mixed record when it comes to fulfilling promises on reforms, and there are obstacles in the Houses of Parliament and stuff like that. But of course, now that he's won a bigger mandate in this round, I'm sure he's going to push through it more carefully, think through issues carefully, like I've mentioned earlier. A few months ago, there was a big rally across Indonesian universities when the House of Parliament wanted to push a bill that might have weakened the anti-graft body. You don't want to tempt youth voters to come out against you. Therefore, he needs to be mindful. He needs to balance the political reality with the political ideals of his promises of reforms. And two young voters, they have seen his first term track record, so they're a bit skeptical at the moment.
So how would the Magnificent Seven help? And what outcomes can we expect to see from this new cohort of young staffers?
Well, I hope that it is not just some form of PR on the president's side. But knowing in studying how he works before, he is very inclusive, very engaging, and takes views from across the board. Therefore, I think he will prioritize ideas that come in from this Magnificent Seven group of staffers and think tank. But it's also up to these group of seven. How fast can they learn in reading the political realities, the political dynamics, in pushing through the ideas through the system? Because at the end of the day, they are a group of seven people. They have no experience, bureaucratic experience in government. It's not easy moving things in government.
On a final note, is this something we could potentially do here? Or conversely, in your opinion, what measures would work for youth engagement in Malaysia?
Well, what President Jokowi has done, handpicking the seven people to work closely in his inner circle in the presidential office in Jakarta, is what our former Prime Minister, our second Prime Minister, Tun Razak, used to do. He handpicked politicians, academics, people from social activist backgrounds, mandarins in civil service, and put them in the right places. So we have seen this done in Malaysia before. And these people that Tun Razak handpicked grew up in public domain to lead on very successful careers in whatever path that they've been tasked on and put in. So it has been done in Malaysia before with great successful results. And therefore, if Malaysian leaders are serious, they should be doing the same thing again to prepare a generation of young leaders that are capable to be put in the front line. And it's not just about any individual, but it is about a generation of young leaders. That's one. Secondly, I think one thing that you can learn from Indonesia is grassroots movement needs to be empowered. They need to be given the space. Government needs to relax a bit and do not fight for the same oxygen, do not have a top-down approach when dealing with youth engagements, and let it be organic. And I think that is one lesson that Malaysia can learn from Indonesia in how to deal with youth and young voters.
Amir, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Amir Farid, Director of Strategy at KRA Group, talking about the group of seven young staffers that President Jokowi has personally picked to be a part of his expert presidential expert staff. Let us know your thought. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.